Yeah, well, good morning to all, and I really, really appreciate your prayers because I need that so very much, so thank you so very much. I'm going to do a PowerPoint today. Bill got me started in all this, so I really enjoy doing it, and yeah, it's easier for me to follow. Okay, if you take a course in homiletics in TEPSI, it is required that you start your message with a sermon, or excuse me, your sermon. you start your sermon with an illustration. Sorry, I'm still being trained. So you start your sermon with an illustration. So my opening illustration is about nature, something in nature. Whoops, how did that get in there? Okay, the batting order got changed. Hold on 1 minute. I don't know how that happened, but it did. So I'm going to change this around like this. In the ocean, on the surface of the sea, the violent winds whip the waters into giant waves and create scenes of havoc and chaos. Yet a mere 25 feet below the surface, the waters are clear and calm. The fish go on living totally unaware of the tumult above them. That's hard to comprehend, but evidently it's a reality. The next statement, where there is depth, that is in God and in His Word, there is peace. So it can be in the Christian's life. So yes, my little topic today is about peace, and now we will press on. Now the title of my little topic today, Peace Which the World Does Not Know, But Also It Cannot Give. It cannot give. You know, believe me, the world doesn't know about these things. People without Christ do not know the peace that you and I have. They don't know this. And there's in the millions. You may be wondering what John 14:27 is. That's not my opening verse. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples before he went to the cross, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." And then he goes on to say, "Not as this world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid." So we're talking about a peace that the world does not know and it cannot give. But if you're in Christ, and I believe everybody in this room is, it's a peace that passes all understanding. So let's press on here. Okay, the title of my message, I just gave it a second ago. My opening text is, I don't have an opening text. But the Bible gives us three reminders about peace, which sadly, the world, this present world, does not know and it cannot give. What are these three reminders? Well, first of all, the promise of peace is available in salvation to whosoever. Number two, there can be, and notice the verb phrase, there can be a proliferation or an increase of peace in our sanctification. There can be. This is not automatic. This is a choice you and I can make. And number three, there will be the perfection of peace in our glorification. That's a guarantee. There will be the perfection of peace in our glorification. Okay, the promise of peace is available in salvation, and somebody might be asking how. Well, letter A, it comes by the hearing or the reading of the gospel message. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a second. And then my subpoints are, and these are requirements, one must hear or read, you can read, of the fact of sin. One must hear or read of the consequences of sin. And one must hear or read of the payment for sin. So there's a natural progression right here, okay? And so concerning the lost, who for X amount of us is our own families and friends, they must hear these three things in that progression. If they don't hear these things, it's no gospel message, okay? Now I'm going to do a little bit of a breakdown in each of these. So this is just part A, okay? What do we mean by the hearing or a reading of the gospel message? Well, that begs the question, what is the gospel message? A lot of us know 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, which is the gospel message in a nutshell. How did Christ died for our sins? And please notice the source, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again from the dead, according to the scriptures. This is all biblical facts. It can't be denied. I mean, it can be opposed, but it can't be denied because, well, the scriptures are the final authority. But I love that. Okay, so that's the gospel message. What is meant by the hearing or reading of it? Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." It was 60 years ago at a place called Indian Lake, Ohio, when I was 14 years old, I heard the gospel. My uncle showed me some verses, which we're going to go through. So I heard the gospel for the first time in my life. But it's also possible for a person like you and I in our personal evangelism, we're talking to a stranger, we don't get to preach the gospel to them, and we might say something like this: "I got this piece of literature for you. I'd like to leave this with you to remind you how much Jesus loves you and how you can know for sure you can go to heaven." So I give them a piece of literature. Can they read that piece of literature and be saved? By all means, they can. So God's preferred method is for you and I to use our mouths and preach the gospel and witness, but they can also be saved through reading a piece of literature like this. And I'm a big, big advocate of literature evangelism, a big advocate, especially in the times we live in when people don't want to hear or stop to hear the good news. I'm a big advocate of literature evangelism, big advocate of it. And of course, sadly, not all literature is equal. So then faith comes by hearing or reading the Word of God. Okay, let's go back through the gospel message here. And subpoint number one must hear or read of the fact of sin. And notice the little sad face right there. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Please notice the word "all." I got an emphasis on the word "all." It doesn't say "for all have sinned except." It doesn't say that, it says all. That word "all" is inclusive. That means everybody. Since Adam and Eve, that means everybody in this present world, and for yet people who be born in this world, it's inclusive. For all have sinned, except the Lord Jesus, of course. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's not very good news, is it? But it's a reality, and God says it. Okay, number two, one must hear or read of the consequences of sin. If we break a law in our homes, if we break a law in society, in any other place, there's what? A consequence. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." The penalty or the price of sin is death. Death in this verse, its simplest meaning means separation. It's separation, it's not that a person just drops over dead physically. It means it's separation. People who are not yet without Christ as their Savior, it's their sin, it separates them from God. They're spiritually separated from God. For the wages of sin is death or eternal separation from God. That's not good news. Okay. One must hear or read of the payment for sin. Ah, now we're getting to the good things. Romans 8:5-8. "But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners," still sinners, "Christ died for us." Think about that. That Jesus left heaven with one purpose, to come into this world, to suffer, to be nailed to a cross, to be crucified, to agonize on a cross, all for you and I. He demonstrated his love towards you, towards me, towards everybody, anybody, bar none. His love for us is inclusive of everyone, anybody in this world, male or female, old or young, the worst of the worst, whatever. He died for all. He died for you and me. I'm still lost in wonder what he did on the cross for me, and I know you are too. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us. He shed his precious blood to pay for our sins, which we can never pay for. Again, he was buried. He rose again from the dead. And now he offers eternal life, forgiveness of sins, peace with God, so forth. Okay. Part B. So now we give out the information. One can now choose, and notice the verb, can choose to believe in Christ alone or not to believe. I personally, when it comes to John 3:36, is one of the greatest commentaries in a very succinct form of all mankind. It's a very succinct and a very, tremendous commentary of the human race all in this one verse, I'll share this with you. He or she who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he that chooses to believe not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God shall abide on him. That verse talks about two different camps of people, those who believe and those who choose not to believe. It talks about two different choices a person can make, to believe or not to believe. And it talks about two different consequences, eternal life or eternity in the lake of fire. I love that verse. It's a very, very down-to-the-point verse about what a person can do to be saved. And I love this little quote. I don't have a clue who said it. Your choice, not chance, will determine your eternal destiny. What a person does with Jesus will determine their eternal destiny. Like someone has said, for all the millions of people in this world who sadly are without Christ, they don't have to do anything to go to a place called hell. They don't have to do a single thing. That's where they're heading. But if they hear this message, or read this message, they can actually make a wise choice to believe in Christ or not to believe in Christ. They can make a choice. And God doesn't make people believe. He doesn't make people believe. It's a choice of the will. And it pertains to anybody and everybody. Wow. Doesn't force anybody to believe at all. Thus, for those who believe in the Lord Jesus, which I did 60 years ago, Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a promise. That's an instantaneous promise. Justified by faith. By grace alone, through faith alone in Christ alone, one can be saved. It's not faith plus. It's not faith plus baptism. It's not faith plus going to church. It's not faith plus works, doing this, doing that. It's grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone. That's how one gets saved. All these other things are good things after one puts their trust in the Lord Jesus. I thank God that the gospel message is so simple, so clear. I do. I thank God so much. And I thank God for his grace that saved me. And I know a lot in this audience can say, amen. What he has done for you and I, he's made it so simple. I always appreciate this comment from Choice Gleanings Calendar. Some of you may get it. Man yearns for peace. He works hard for peace. But he will not bow to the Prince of Peace. Is it any wonder that peace eludes man? So it's available. It's available to all and any, but we must bow. We must understand that we're a sinner. We must understand that, the wages of sin. We must understand who Jesus is. Put your trust in Him and Him alone. So I want to ask you a question. Have you ever bowed to the Prince of Peace? I did it 60 years ago. It's the greatest decision, and I use the word decision or choice. I made that choice or decision 60 years ago. The greatest thing ever happened to me, bar none. And since I've been saved, there is nothing in this world that compares to being saved. Nothing, absolutely nothing. No possession, no place, no position. Nothing in this world satisfies like the Lord Jesus and knowing that you have peace with God. Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Well, let's press on. Not only is the promise of peace available through salvation, but part two, there can be the proliferation or increase of peace in our sanctification. So when a person becomes born again, basically there's three phases of life. Salvation is an instant transaction. And then from that point on, we go through our sanctification, which we're all still in. For some people, it's very long. I've been saved for 60 years. For some people, it might only be a few minutes. How many people come to Christ in the terminal ward? The thief on the cross. He didn't have a very long sanctified life, did he? He said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." You know? So we're in that process called sanctification. So how can that peace increase in your heart and mind and life, in my heart and mind? How can that increase? How can that increase with all the problems in the world? Well, basically, through submission to the Word of God, through memorization of the Word of God, through meditation in the Word of God, through adoration of the Word of God, and through supplication and prayer. And we're going to go through these one by one, okay? This is probably the most important part of my message for all you out there. Because I don't know what you're feeling today. Are you stressed? Anybody stressed today? That peace is kind of shaken a little bit? Okay, come on. But we got to start with a statistic. Did you know that 7 out of 10 diseases are caused by stress? Did you know that? Did you know that stress causes 7 out of 10 of the diseases we have in this world? Did you know that? Anybody stressed today? You may not verbalize it, you may not show it, but is anybody feeling real stressed today? And it affects not only older people, yes, even younger people. Anybody stressed? So how do we deal with that? Well, this is a nice little image. Here were some really neat images on the internet. Some of you might be feeling like this, but you don't show it, but you feel like this. Okay? Or maybe this is your circumstance. You can't sleep at night. I'm not going to take a survey, but how many of you don't have good nights of sleep? I'm not going to take a survey, you know? You can't sleep at night because there's things that bother you, or there's people that bother you. And this is for our TEFC students and for those in college. You're stressed out because of homework. I used to sit in that position, but no longer. It's nice to be on the other side of the fence now. Nice to be on the other side of the fence. So stress takes on many different forms, doesn't it? Takes on many different forms, and some of us handle it quite well, and some of us don't handle it quite well. How many different kinds of stress are there? There's financial stress. There's relationship stress, coworkers, neighbors, so forth. There's bills, personal problems, there's anxieties, there's worries, there's fears. I know none of you don't have any of those things, but I got them. Anybody got any fears, worries, anxieties, stress? So the $64,000 question, what is the cure? Well, I'm glad you asked me. Let's press on. Well, subpoint number one, through submission to the Word of God. Obedience to the Word of God. Lord, help me. I need help in that all the time. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Solomon is speaking. He says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." And what are the results if you and I do it? Now, we're not under the law. We are not under the law. We're under grace. But what are the results? What can we learn from this? For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you when you and I are obedient. Whenever we're reading our Bible and we're obedient to what God is speaking to us, it says peace can be added to you besides peace and salvation. Submission to the Word of God. That's not a popular subject. I still have my struggles, but it's not popular. But nonetheless, God help us to submit to what we're reading. Okay, number two, through memorization of the Word of God. Back to that same passage. In Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 3, Solomon said, "Forget not my law." Again, we're not under the law. But notice the next statement, "Write them upon the table of thine heart, and peace shall they add to you." Can I take the scriptures when I read them and literally write them on the table of my heart? Can you do that? No. So by inference, or however you say that word, I think we're talking about the need to memorize the Word of God. I forgot to bring my little book with me, but I got a book on why memorize Scripture. It is one of the best things I've ever done in my life when I started memorizing Scripture 25 years ago, 30 years ago. It's one of the best things I've ever done for myself is start memorizing Scripture. Are you memorizing Scripture? And there's no age limit on this one. The value and the purposes of memorizing Scripture, it is so beneficial. I don't know, how do you put it in words? But the value of memorizing Scripture, because a day may come when you don't have a Bible near you and all of a sudden you're stressed out about something. The Bible's not near you. And what? The Holy Spirit, He brings something to your remembrance to really minister in that circumstance. You're bedridden. You're sick. You don't feel like reading your Bible. And the Holy Spirit can bring those verses to your remembrance. And wow, how He ministers. So I have personally found there's great value in memorizing Scripture, and I'm still trying to do it. Through meditation in the Word of God, Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Isaiah 26, 3 says, "For you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed or fixed on you." What do we think about in the routine things of life and day-to-day? What do you and I think about? Probably myself and most of us, we think about the things of this life, the cares of this life, the problems, the worries, and this and that. We're still in these sinful bodies. It's natural to think about the things of this life. But God help us, like Colossians 3 says, think about those things above. Think about those things above. And so, again, meditation. I bought a book just recently about meditation, and I wish I really would meditate in the Word of God more. I really do. To just take a verse and think about it and break it down. Just think about it. What is this saying? What does this mean? Meditation. It really, really adds to our peace when we meditate on a verse or a chapter or whatever. It really helps or adds to our peace. Through adoration for the Word of God, Psalm 119, verse 165 says, great peace. And notice the adjective, great peace have they which love thy law. Now we're not under the law. And nothing shall offend them, or nothing shall cause them to stumble. Do you love the Word of God? I love the Word of God. It's the best possession I got, bar none. It is the very best possession I got. I love my Bible. I don't always do what it says, but I love my Bible. I really do. It's my best friend. It ministers to me like none of you can minister to me. But do we love the Word of God? Do we love it? It says, great peace have they which love thy law, and hopefully we do what it says. Through supplication and prayer, now I know these are very popular verses, and I love them too. I like the New King James rendering of Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in only a few things, no, it says everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Oh, you know, the value of telling God, this is what's bothering me. This or that or whatever is bothering me. Would you help me? Casting all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. 1 Peter 5, 7. You know, oh, what peace we often forfeit, all because we do not, and now I can't remember what it is, do not come to... Thank you very much. I appreciate your help. Yes. Oh, what peace we often forfeit because we keep our problems to ourselves. And God is up there waiting. He's up there waiting. Give me your cares. Give me your stress. Give me your problems. Give me your worry. I'll help you. Yeah. Oh, what peace we often forfeit all because we don't pray about these things. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Question, how is your quiet time? How is mine? I found out the hard way in my life. I was a backslidden Christian for 24 years, and I know exactly how I got in that state. Because I didn't take the time every day to open my Bible and spend time alone with God and His Word and prayer. Is it any wonder I fell away from the Lord? That was a very hard lesson, 24 years. But when I finally started reading my Bible, and Tepsi really helped me a lot more, to invest time, to take time to read my Bible, think about it, try to do what it says, and so forth, memorize Scripture, and all these other things I try to share with you, that's a life changer. That's a life changer. And I value my quiet time more than anything else, except being with you guys. I value that more than anything else. I really do. It's a quiet time to change his lives. How's your quiet time? How's mine? Okay, part three. Not only is a promise of peace available in salvation there. Whoop, okay, that's the wrong batting order. Oh, no, that's right. Okay, got it. Sorry. I don't know how these slides got mixed up. Okay. Not only is a promise of peace available in salvation in there can be the increase of peace in our sanctification, but folks, this is the good news. There will be the perfection of peace in our glorification. There will be the perfection of peace in our glorification, especially in the presence of our Savior. Now, these next few verses I'm going to show you, I could not find any verses in the Bible anywhere it talks about in the presence of Christ, and it says peace. I couldn't find them. And I was struggling with that, so the Lord brought this passage to my remembrance about being in the presence of our Savior. In Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8, verse 11, in that great passage, as to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Then it goes on in that passage to list 14 contrasts in that passage. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. There's a time to sow. There's a time to reap, so forth and so on. But notice how in verse 8, how it ends with a time of war and a time of peace. Think about that. When you and I all get to glory, there's not going to be no more war. There's not going to be no more battles. There's not going to be no more crime. There's not going to be no more cares. There's not going to be no more worries. There's not going to be no more bills. There's not going to be no more fears. It's going to be a time of peace, which the world doesn't know. Think about all these, and it's, you can go from A to Z to no mores, because it's going to be a perfection of peace in His presence. It's going to be a perfection. And I really love the next statement, and I would appreciate your opinion on this next statement in verse 11. God says He has made everything beautiful in His time. That is a statement to dwell upon, think about, because when we're in His presence, everything's going to be beautiful in His time. And Mike, when you said for the opening Lord's Supper, I don't think there's going to be time no more. I believe in the everlasting day. There's not going to be no night or day, or excuse me, night in Revelation 21. It's going to be an everlasting day. There ain't going to be no more time. But it's going to be unspeakable, unending peace. Wow. In the presence of our Savior, I can't wait. Well, I have to wait, but I can't wait. Okay, in the performance of the Spirit of God, as we yield to the Word of God, it says we bear the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 25, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Now, why did I leave out the other list? Who wants to take a guess why I left out the other fruit of the Spirit? Anybody want to take a guess? It says about three or four more. Why did I leave that out? Anybody? Why did I leave it out? Exactly. In His presence, will there be long suffering? Will there? No. It says faith. Do we need any more faith? We'll be like Him. No. I believe the three dominant the fruit of the Spirit will be unending fullness of love, fullness of joy, fullness of peace, never ending, love, joy, and peace. That's all what's going to be. And it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit, especially towards one another and those outside. Let us walk in love, let us walk in joy, let us walk in peace. Question, are you, am I looking and longing for the perfection of everlasting peace in the presence of our Savior? I don't know your heart, you don't know mine. Do we long for this? I don't know about you, but this world gets me down, especially when I look at the news and the things that are going on right now. All these protests and this and that and all these issues. And you know, in all these things, it really weighs on us. Are we looking and longing for this perfection of everlasting peace? I ask you that question because I am. I'm looking, I'm longing for this, and to be in the presence of our Savior. And so we will conclude with that hymn that Tom had us sing. Peace, peace is mine. God's almighty arms around me. Peace, peace is mine. Judgment scenes need not confound me. Peace, peace is mine. How precious. Jesus came himself and sought you, sought me. Sold the deaf he found and bought me, bought you, peace, peace is mine. And I really love the next line because I love Romans 13:11, New King James. For now is our salvation nearer than when I first believed. Welcome every rising sunlight, peace, peace is mine. Nearer home each rolling midnight, peace, peace is mine. Death and hell cannot appall me. Safe in Christ, whatever befall me. Calmly wait I till he call me, peace, peace is mine. Well, let us close in prayer. And again, I don't know what's going on in your life right now. The stress, the problems, so forth and so on. But I would challenge you, the answers and the cure is spend time in the Word of God and in prayer. God help us. Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, again, thank you. Thank you so very much for the Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done for us on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. I love that verse. Lord Jesus, having made peace through the blood of your cross. Thank you for that peace that we have in our hearts and souls. But unfortunately, in day-to-day living and the stress of life, that peace gets shaken. It gets rocked. And we have a tendency to forget you and forget the Word of God. Forgive us. Lord, I don't know my brothers and sisters what they do in their life. Likewise, they don't know what I do in my life. But I pray that we all would be in the Word of God on a daily basis, a regular basis, a consistent basis. And we would practice these things. We would submit to the Word of God. We would memorize the Scriptures. We would meditate in the Scriptures. We would love the Word of God. And yes, we would tell you our problems so that we could have that peace. Lord, help us. Please help us. With those who do not have peace, they need a Savior too. It's not your will that anybody in this world should perish. Help us to be your witnesses that they can have this peace that we have. As we give thanks in Jesus' precious name.